We'll move into item number seven, or six. Sorry.
How quickly I'm corrected.
Item number six, Lands 2020 briefing. This is a briefing. So Julie, hi. Up to you.
Hi.
Cynthia, hi.
The first one, but both of you, yes.
Hi, Cynthia Wilkerson, Lands Division Manager, and Julie Sandberg, our Real Estate Services Manager. Happy to talk with you on our annual Lands 2020 discussion. This is a briefing on the suite of projects that we have statewide, where we are looking at proposals for moving forward with funding applications and pursuit of money to purchase lands. So, looking forward to this. Like I said, it's a briefing on these projects, a little bit about the process, just a reminder how that works. And then looking at the projects, we have 9 projects this year that are under consideration for approval to pursue funding. And then we will include a summary of the public comments that we received over the last, we had about a 3-week comment period. So we're going to talk about a little bit about next steps. So just real briefly, why does the Department of Fish and Wildlife purchase lands? We get this question all the time, and so we have a couple of really clear answers. One is in service to our mission. So for both the conservation and recreation components of our mission, land ownership and management is critical for that. And then it's also the policy of the state, and I'll read some of these words, to acquire as soon as possible the most significant lands for wildlife conservation and outdoor recreation purposes before they are converted to other uses, and to develop existing public recreational land and facilities to meet the needs of present and future generations. So this is consistent with our values and quality of life in the state of Washington. More specifically, WDFW has a strategic acquisition priorities set of why DFW and for what purposes we purchase land. One major reason is in service of our conservation mission for species and habitats. So this is things like spawning grounds and habitat for anadromous fish, winter range for ungulates, particularly in eastern Washington, habitat for various species, Columbia white-tailed deer, western gray squirrel, pygmy rabbits, prairie grouse. These are all identified as strategic acquisition priorities. And then also lands along energy and transportation corridors that support the movement of wildlife. We also buy land as well, of course, to enhance our sustainable fishing and hunting and other wildlife-related recreational opportunities. So looking for quality hunting opportunities, enhanced recreational access, including a big piece of that right now is in timberlands that have historically been open to public recreation and are becoming more restricted. Improving access to marine shorelines for fishing and shellfish harvest, and including boating access throughout the state. We also buy lands to improve the management of the lands we currently own and manage, to provide and maintain access to those existing lands, to support the ecological connectivity and improve management actions, such as fire protection, noxious weed control, and firefighting in places like inholdings in current wildlife areas, and then access to lands, to provide access to lands needed to maintain hatchery intake structures and other necessary hatchery infrastructure. And then lastly, we buy lands to preserve working lands for agricultural, forestry, and other sectors of the outdoor economy, particularly in rural areas. And this is targeted at maintaining working lands that are managed consistent with the maintenance of ecological integrity on our lands, to help prevent or reduce wildlife damage or conflict surrounding private lands, and to preserve community character by maintaining open space in the face of development pressure. So those are the whys. And then there's a little bit about the how. So we have a set of land acquisition principles that talk about the things we consider when we consider land acquisition. So we look at how to optimize and pursue and use partnerships so that if there's a conservation need for some land protection, DFW doesn't have to be that owner. We work in partnerships to look at who's the best owner. Is conservation the best alternative? Is acquisition the best conservation alternative? Are there other things that we could do, like easements or work with providing private land incentives to the landowners to manage it and to maintain that ownership in private land? We look for long-term opportunities to maintain ecological values. We place generally a higher value on larger and contiguous lands. Those make more sense for the department to own. If they're smaller, more isolated, we would look at other tools like private land incentives or easements in those cases. And we also prioritize lands that are ecologically or socially important. A little bit more about the how. So the scoping, this is the standard slide you see in Julie's presentations. The scoping and need is when we look at things like recovery plans and the State Wildlife Action Plan and recreation plans on specific wildlife areas, wildlife area plans themselves, the State Conservation and Outdoor Recreation Plan. They will all give us information and guide us to priorities for places that we may look at in terms of land acquisition. And then the evaluation and prioritization phase is the phase that Lands 2020 sits in, where we are today, where the regions are looking at the opportunities that are available to them and making the case for which of those opportunities we may want to be pursuing. So we work with our regional staff, our lands agents, and then take all of that together and take a statewide look. Then once we move past the Lands 2020 phase, we move into the funding pursuit stage, where we look for current opportunities and state and federal funding. Because, again, this is land acquisition is not something that we take out of our general fund or operating budget. This is something that we get specific grants to acquire these specific lands. And then the last thing is once we then we go through the land transaction components, all the negotiations, and making sure that we do our due diligence in the real estate process. And then once we acquire it, we integrate those lands into our ownership. And then obviously all of this is also based on willing sellers and opportunities that are available. So beyond that, just wanted to remember that, again, like I said, that these the funding sources for land acquisition come from specific grant programs, primarily from state and federal funds. The Recreation and Conservation Office maintains many of those funds from the state side, and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service maintains many of those from the federal side. And again, these are restricted funds specifically for land acquisition. Each one of them has a specific emphasis. And that is how we secure the funds to acquire these lands. And then just overall, you know, why do we acquire lands? We acquire them to strengthen common shared values that we have with our constituents and across the state for landscape conservation, for species, for the outdoor recreation opportunities, the benefits to working lands and rural economies. And now, Julie's going to talk us through the projects, the nine projects that we have for this year.
Excuse me, Cynthia.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier this morning, we heard a concern from a person who is adjacent to some land that we are considering buying in Grayland. And the concern was his access or his group's access to what they'd done for 100 years. And then, so it was a concern about access, and then it was a concern about if we buy the land, who else is going to have access? And so it's pretty easy to see how complicated these projects become. My question is whether when we are considering buying property like this, if we hear concerns like that, do we go out and we work with the adjacent property owners to figure out how to keep peace in the valley?
Yeah, Chair Smith Commissioner Baker, absolutely. I know that that Brian Calkins, our regional program manager, who's the lead on that Grayland property, has already been in contact with that gun club that came and talked with us today, or the hunt club.
For the record, my name is Julie Sandberg, Real Estate Services Manager. Today, you're at the very beginning of the process. We're taking a look at proposed properties we might want to acquire. We haven't done very much due diligence. We haven't pulled a title report. We don't have any money to spend other than on the ground, working with, knowing we have a willing landowner. They're willing to be patient with us through this lengthy process to obtain funding, and once the funding comes, to bear with us through the appraisal. And then we'll see if we even have a willing seller still with us at that point to bring a completed transaction. The early stage we're at now, we have 9 proposals that the regions have put forward in regions 1, 4, 5, and 6. And I'll go through each of these fairly quickly. Don't challenge me too much because, as I say, we haven't pulled a title report, but we're doing our public outreach. We'll give you the results of some of that today. And we're hearing from other constituents. That's the whole point of this early notice out there, just to see if there's issues that we really need to get our antenna up as we move forward in the process. The properties that are being proposed range from Northeast Washington to the west side to the Olympic Peninsula. They range from 2 acres in size up to over 1,750 acres in size. The first one is in Northeast Washington in Ferry County in our Sherman Creek wildlife area. We have 2 small properties that are adjacent to each other. They don't have legal access. They would start closing up the hole in our wildlife area. It would provide additional hunting access and provide some of the support, continued support for the species in that area, such as white-tailed deer, the northern goshawk, and the white-headed woodpecker. Again, 2 separate properties totaling 53 acres. Also in Region 1, we call it the Green Gulch property. Again, sits surrounded almost totally by our wildlife area. It provides connectivity for mule deer, elk, and mountain quail. Tremendous recreational opportunities for the public with this kind of a larger landscape. The 43 acres in Columbia County, called the Goat Mountain Road property, will help protect the surrounding habitat for bighorn sheep. It provides additional road access for our wildlife area and certainly more hunting opportunities. Going up to Region 4, the Department of Corrections currently owns a small 2-acre parcel that we manage for water access, and they have offered to donate the property to us. There was some confusion with our small amount of information on the website, confusion that a state agency paid money for it and another state agency was going to pay money to buy it. This is clearly a donation for a property that we are already managing.
Julie, just a quick question. Why would Department of Corrections have 2 acres there?
I don't know the backstory. It probably was donated to them many, many years ago, and that's why we've taken it over and managed it.
They actually own a fair amount of land down there.
Really?
Yeah, so it's. I was surprised, too.
Do you know why?
I don't know why. I think they ran it as farms, actually. I think I heard that once, that they used them as farms for correctional facilities.
Yeah, okay, makes sense.
So we'll get the rest of the story when we bring the actual...
There's a whole history here.
Brad, one other quick question.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned water access on that particular piece. To what? Is that the Grand Ronde River, or is it...
No, that one's up in Region 4 and
Snohomish
River.
I'm
we shifted.
Messed up here.
Yeah, we flew over to the west side.
The Green Gulch,
yeah, the
river.
A lot of trees.
You may or may not have noticed because we are going a little quickly here, but we skipped all the way from Region 1 to Region 4. We do not have any projects in Regions 2 or 3 this cycle.
We're in Region 5 down along the Columbia in Clickitat County. The large yellow section that you see is our Simcoe Mountain acquisition that we've been doing in phases. The two red outlines are two private edge holdings, if you will, that we would include in our Simcoe Mountains unit. It again preserves that landscape and the habitat for western gray squirrel, mule deer, and black-tailed deer, as well as some Oregon oak communities. In, again, Region 6, moving further out to the coast, we have 103 acres of shoreline tidelands in Pacific County. Again, great recreational access off the main highway there. Up to the Olympic Peninsula on the Straits, we have an opportunity to engage with the landowner in selling just the ramp area and two parking areas at the Merlin's Olson Resort. The landowner is retaining the rest of the structures, but we would be purchasing the ramps and two parking areas. It's the only public launch between Nea Bay and Port Angeles. Again, in Region 6, the property that you've heard discussed earlier, about 1,750 acres in Grays Harbor County. This is a partnership. The landowner is a timber owner. Our partner, Ducks Unlimited, was able to engage with that landowner to get their commitment for a conservation sale, and also to partner because ultimately Department of Fish and Wildlife would be the landowner. Both Ducks Unlimited and the department bring grant funding to the table for the purchase. This is kind of an unusual one for the 2020 process. Typically, the properties that we're giving you today, we have no idea where the funding will come from. In this case, we had an open grant, a National Coastal Wetland grant, that had funding available. The property became available, so we worked with our federal partners and Ducks Unlimited and were able to amend this property into our grant so we have some funding to bring to the table. Ducks Unlimited also applied for a National Coastal Wetland grant, so they're bringing funding to the table. We're working through the appraisal process at this time, but again, we have money in hand. We needed to quickly get before you for the 2020 process. In Region 6, Thurston County, the red outline parcels we are adding to our proposed acquisition either through conservation easement or fee acquisition of habitat for Oregon spotted frog. Last year we had put through some other small properties that we haven't gotten funding for yet. But again, this is to preserve real specific property areas that are very important for breeding sites. The funding would be either we would put a conservation easement on the land, or because we are eligible for certain grant categories, we would pass through the money to a partner who would hold fee title, and we'd just be responsible for the funding. Okay.
And I would just I would add for that last one that and a couple of them, the Simcoe one as well, are part of these larger landscape-level conservation collaborative efforts that we are engaged in. So with the Oregon spotted frog, that's South Puget Sound Prairies. We are working with the conservation districts down in Klickitat County to do coordinated resource management. And so all of the management plans that we're doing there are being done in collaboration with those interests. So just going to talk through the Lands 2020 public comments. So we had the public comment period open for 3 weeks. We received nearly 80 comments, and we're actually still receiving them the last couple of days. The comment period closed last Friday, just so we had a little bit of time to prep and be ready for today. Overall, we've had about 80% of those comments are positive, where about the remainder of them had some kind of stated opposition to either generally the concept of these acquisitions or specific pieces of specific proposals. The support, again, about 80% of the comments fell into various different categories, including support because of the increase in hunting opportunities, particularly in eastern Washington, that these would present support generally for enhanced open space and or recreational opportunities with the public land component, support for connectivity for wildlife and the ones that are connecting existing lands. There was some stated support specifically for importance of tidelands and that NEMA Tidelands project. Wildlife habitat and species protection was another big theme, as well as public access. In looking at the remainder of the 20, I was also going to say that we just got, just this morning, I think it was received yesterday, we got a letter of support from the City of Forks for the CQ project. And so that was a good one to see from locally from a local municipality. And we've also been contacted by the Chamber of Commerce, the Clallam CQ Chamber of Commerce, to come talk about it. And they're seeing the benefits of it as well. And we have received some recent comments in support of the Grayland project also that came in after the time period. And so the themes around the concerns are kind of what we hear generally, this concern about loss of tax base, so taking lands from the private ownership and putting into public ownership. And we heard that with regards to the projects in Assotin and Ferry County. In Ferry County, we actually did get a letter of stated opposition from the county commissioners 2 days ago, I believe. You've probably seen that. They received on Monday a petition from 160 individuals in their county opposing this project. That opposition is entirely based on this concern of their county being over 80-85% publicly owned. They have a lot of federal U.S. Forest Service land, and then the Colville tribal lands take a big chunk out of their county. We did calculate the current tax payments for those two parcels, which total 53 acres, and it's a total of $626 a year in private land, private taxes, property taxes that are being paid. And based on the billing that we've been doing with the payment in lieu of taxes, which we do pay in Ferry County, our PILT estimate for those two parcels are $360 a year. There's quite a bit of complexity in how those are calculated, but I just wanted to make sure that we had those numbers to you. And also, our regional director in Region 1, Steve Pizangra, is going to be going in front of the county commission on Monday and following through with his commitment to meet with them and talk about the public comments that were received and talk about what we are going to do in this case. We received other themes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got a little in the weeds on that one because it was pretty prominent.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the question is on that matter. So to help me understand the loss of tax base argument, so we're paying taxes in lieu
yes.
of the payments. Otherwise normal amount. And they're concerned that that's not big enough, or are they concerned that this property would later be developed and they'd get more taxes if it were developed? Or could you help me understand if we are making some tax payments, how much they think they're being shorted?
So we haven't had that detailed of a conversation with them. I can read you their letter. It's very short. It says, for the record, the Ferry County Board of Commissioners objects to this land acquisition that takes private property out of the Ferry County tax base. Ferry County is 85% publicly owned currently. Any further reduction of tax revenue greatly harms the citizens and businesses of Ferry County. 160 citizens of Ferry County petitioned the Ferry County Board of Commissioners to oppose this land acquisition. That's what we have.
But it's true that it does not take it out of the tax base. Is that accurate?
It takes it off of their private land tax rolls. Do you want
to? State agencies are exempt from paying property taxes, except Fish and Wildlife pays a payment in lieu of tax on their properties, and Department of Natural Resources pays payment in lieu of taxes on their conservation lands, not on their trust lands. So for the vast federal holdings, tribal holdings in a county, they don't collect any property taxes. We contribute in lieu of property taxes. In this case, the two landowners are paying about $600 a year in taxes. Our PILT payments to the county would come back in at about $300. So they'd have a net loss of around $300.
And just to add to that quickly, their response, how they deal with that is then they basically they spread that out amongst the current property owners. So they still generally recoup the same amount of money. It's just the rate is increased.
So I was actually going to ask, because I've been watching the correspondence come in on this. We previously had gone to the legislature and asked them to correct what had been the holdback during the Great Recession on PILT. And that's been kind of on hold. Are we planning in the next biennium to seek at least an inflationary correction to PILT?
Yes. Chair Smith and Commissioner Thornburn, thank you for that question. We have been active in providing the information about what full funding of PILT looks like and putting that in front of the legislature.
Okay.
So as you referred to, our PILT payments were frozen at 2009 levels, and we are required by the legislature to pay the amount that they designate for us to pay. They, in the last year's budget, they increased the amount that we are paying for PILT, but it's still nearly half of what we should be paying.
Okay.
So we asked for 4.5, and I believe we got 2.2, something like that. And they specifically allocated exactly how much we pay to which counties. And there is also an active coalition with the Association of Counties and the conservation community that's been out there working this issue, and that's how we got the bump this last time. Everyone knows it was a particularly challenging budget year. We will continue to, that coalition will continue to be active into the future.
Thank you for that update. And then I just have an observation to make. I think Sherman Creek is becoming much more recognized as a recreational opportunity. It's receiving more use. And certainly recreation should bring some revenue into the county to kind of counter that argument that the county commissioners put forward, with the exception of the fact that Sherman Creek is closer to Kettle Falls than it is to Republic. Republic's in Ferry County, Kettle Falls is in Stevens County, so chances are the sales revenue that comes in through recreational use is more likely going to Stevens County than it is to Ferry County. So just something to think about in terms of the political standing on that acquisition. Yeah.
Thank you for that. So if I may, I think I'll continue with the themes. There was some concern raised over small acreage projects having less value. There was what we often hear, the theme of we need to take care of what we already own rather than purchase more lands. And that's, again, where there's a bit of a disconnect about where the money comes from, because the money for these projects, again, doesn't come from our operating budget. It's not that we can choose to buy new land or choose to use that same money to operate our current lands. But we are having some good conversations with the legislature right now about the relationship between the capital budget and when we do purchase new lands from the money that comes from the capital budget, and how we need to then have some commensurate increase in our operating budget. And we have a request in our supplemental operating budget request right now to look at increasing the funding for operations and maintenance for lands that we've acquired in the last two biennium. We are, so we're out there, we're talking about this, we're talking with the budget writers about how do we kind of crack this nut a little bit. There were a couple comments specific to the CQ boat launch project about spending. They would prefer that this money is spent on hatcheries and, you know, looking at the health of our fisheries, that rather than on this acquiring this boat ramp and parking lots. Again, that's an issue with regards to an understanding of how we could or couldn't use that money. There are some concerns about how access would be managed at CQ itself. And then there was a specific comment to the Oregon Spotted Fraud Project about thinking that regulation was probably good enough and maybe there didn't need to be money spent on further conservation for these lands. So with that, the next steps for Lands 2020 are the director's final approval to pursue funding of the suite of projects. And then, again, once that happens, then we begin to pursue grant applications. The cycle is set up so that we are ready for the big round of Washington Wildlife and Recreation Coalition funding with the applications open in March. And then the transaction work, as I mentioned, for the projects that do get funded, and then land management into the future. So that's what we have for you today. Any further questions?
Thank you, Cynthia. Julie? Yes, Mr. Keogh.
Thank you for the presentation. I appreciate this is good for me to kind of get a heads up on kind of what the commission may be seeing coming down the pipeline.
Because oftentimes, you know, the deal is that the die has been cast in a lot of these, so I think it's, I appreciate that. I think my fellow commissioners do also. So I have a question. I'm going to channel Commissioner Holtzmiller. This has to do with the Green Gulch. You know, that's the biggest land purchase there, and So I see that you've got as listing support the Asotin County Lands Committee.
Yep.
So maybe can you just describe for me what the Lands Committee is? That like a kind of a branch of the County Commission, or what is the
Absolutely.
Lands Committee?
Chair Smith, Commissioner Kehoe, appreciate the question. I should add that I did call and have a conversation with Commissioner Holtzmiller a couple of weeks ago, specific to the Lands 2020, knowing that he would not be here. And I promised not to speak on his behalf. He was hopefully going to be speaking with the chair. I'm not sure if that occurred. But what I will tell you is that the Asotin Lands Committee is a committee that formed several years ago in response to the concern in that county about the amount of land that we own in the county. And, you know, particularly looking at the 4-0 Ranch, the Mountain View property
yes.
that we had been acquiring. And it is convened by the county commission.
Okay.
So Brian Shin is the county commissioner that runs those meetings in collaboration with our regional director, Steve Pizangra. We have quite a few staff that attend those and participate, and it's got various stakeholders from the community kind of all around the issue. So local landowners, farmers, ranchers, there's someone from Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, hunting and sportsmen's groups, and they we meet more or less on a quarterly basis. And the agreement with that group is that any new land acquisition proposed by DFW in Asotin County will be discussed at those meetings. And so we did discuss this a couple of months ago in December, and the work that we've done there and the work and the commitment to maintain working lands activities consistent to what we had talked with in the committee, they were supportive of the project.
Okay, good. Sounds like good government to me. So
there again, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Cynthia. And I echo Commissioner Keogh. Having a little heads up on this stuff is good.